This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 260, where today we play one of our interviews from the Microsoft Build Conference, where CJ talked to the VSTS team, recorded live June the 14th, or interviewed on May the 7th, 2018.
Raygun provides full-stack error, crash, and performance monitoring for tech teams. Whether you're a software engineer looking to diagnose and resolve issues with greater speed and accuracy, a product manager drowning in bug reports, or you're just concerned you're losing customers to poor quality online experiences, Raygun can provide you with the answers. Get full stack error and performance monitoring in one place. The next time you're struggling to replicate errors and performance issues in your codebase, think Raygun. Head over to raygun.com, get up and running within minutes, and dramatically improve the online experiences of your users.
Hey everybody, it's AC today. I'm flying solo, sort of. CJ's not available this week to sit down and record with me as he was traveling due to some work stuff that was going on. And so instead, what we thought we would do is we would play our last interview that we had recorded at the Microsoft Build Conference. At that conference, CJ sat down with the Visual Studio Team Services, or the VSTS guys, to talk about a whole bunch of stuff that they had been working on and some of the news that they were announcing at the Build Conference. So we're going to keep this preamble to the show fairly short because the interview itself was a good 30 minutes or so. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and roll it. I hope to see everybody soon and see you next week.
A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery from individual items to entire sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com. Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes and with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focusing on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make it happen. With a Nintex platform, workflows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No-code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/try-NWC.
All right, guys, well, welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show. Today I've got Edward, pardon my French. We just spoke about whether it was an Ed or an Edward or what the lingo is. But yes, I have Edward on the show and Dan from the VSTS team who are here at Build and talking about all the wonderful things going on in VSTS and the cloud. So for those of our listeners who haven't met you before or seen you in the blogosphere and at Build and so forth, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves and just give a bit of background about yourselves and what you work on at Microsoft.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, my name is Edward Thompson. I work on the Visual Studio Team Services team. I'm a program manager there. I'm kind of new to being a program manager. I used to be a developer on the team and at GitHub before that and a bunch of other software companies. Mostly I focus on version control. It's kind of my passion,
I guess. For those of us that floats our boat,
yeah,
it's a very exciting topic. Just saying.
I think so, too.
There's a lot of people that are like, version control? Wow.
Yeah.
But for us who care about version control, matters a lot.
I think so, too. Yeah, every time I get home and talk to my wife about it, her eyes glaze over a little bit. But I think it's great.
Yeah, well, we definitely have that in common for sure. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Dan.
Yeah, so my name's Dan. I'm also on the VSTS team with Ed. And I focus primarily in the Agile space. So I do a lot of the, kind of like a floating PM, right? So I kind of bounce around in between the different Agile teams, but I focus a lot on, like I said, the Agile space, doing things like process customization, a lot of our data import stuff. And then before that, I worked on a team with our friend Brian Keller, who was kind of ran a small 1ES team, which helped a lot of the internal teams onboard to VSTS. So we had a bunch of teams all over the place using different things, and we tried to help them get inside VSTS. These are the things you need to worry about. Here's how you kind of run your Agile teams and that kind of stuff. And then I guess before that, I came to Microsoft about 5 years ago. I worked as an engineer at a small software company up in northern Michigan, where we did software for Department of Corrections all around the country. So,
wow.
Which was interesting.
Yeah, interesting. So I guess Source Depot is your favorite source control system of all time, right?
Absolutely. Source Depot is great. for your listeners who've never heard of Source Depot, It's an internal Microsoft tool that Microsoft basically took an off-the-shelf, in-the-market product, customized it heavily for their needs for Office and Windows, and then that's what it was.
Yep.
very customized for the Microsoft experience, not a whole lot of improvements beyond that, and it looked and felt very 90s.
I'm pretty sure it was very 90s.
It was very 90s. Yeah.
And as I recall, the majority of the company was on that source control.
At least in terms of engineers, percentage of engineers, absolutely true.
There's probably more lines of code that have gone into Source Depot than I'm pretty sure any other source control system at one company.
I would probably agree with that.
Maybe.
Although Google's going to give you a run for the money lately.
Fair enough. Do you know, that's a different topic. Anyway, we're at Build. So what are you guys up to? You're speaking about VSTS, you're helping out in the booth, meeting folks, discussing what's new and improved in the source control world and the agile world, no doubt.
Yeah. So I'm here just really helping with a lot of the agile boost and just the boost in general for VSTS. So I know Martin, who works with Ed, couldn't make it this round and asked me to kind of fill in. So I'm running T-shirts from booth to booth, so I get to do some of that fun stuff. But then have a lot of conversations with customers and just people coming to the booth talking about agile related things. So yeah.
Gotcha. So do you think the conversations are a little more cloud-friendly this year at Build than conversations you've had in the past? I guess here there's a lot of big enterprise customers that come to Build and developers that work as part of organizations that are not quite as agile as you'd want them to be, I imagine. And that's kind of, you're trying to get them over the line and get them more into this stuff. But in terms of VSTS, being a cloud-based service, there's obviously some companies that are cool with that, more and more that are cool with that, some that are still not cool with that. So you're having so those cloud conversations.
I think we're having I've had a bunch of those today specifically. There's banking industries or financial industries.
Oh, sure.
They were talking why would I go to VSTS? First of all, why is that any better than TFS? But then also it's the security mechanism where how do I get over that hump with leadership to say it's okay to bring my code to the cloud?
Yeah, gotcha.
So we're having a lot of those conversations. So I think it's more conversations, which means obviously it's out there and people are more discussing it and figuring out should we do it or should we not do it, which I think is good. Before, it wasn't even part of the conversation.
Right. So at least it's on the table now.
Yeah, it's on the docket at least. And they're, I think a lot of these folks who come to Build are engineers or engineering leads or managers who have to still convince leadership that it's okay.
Yeah, gotcha.
And so they're going through that process.
Gotcha. And so you work on some features or pieces that interoperate between TFS and VSTS, is that right? Some sort of data import type stuff between the two, is that correct?
Yeah, so I worked, one of my many kind of duties is I helped with the TFS data import, which says, hey, if you're on TFS, we built this tool and this service that says, if I'm on TFS and I want to move to the cloud. Historically, we had a bunch of third-party tools or REST APIs, or the story was just horrible to try to move from TFS to the cloud. And so I've been working with that team on doing that migration. How do I get the stuff over from TFS to VSTS? And it's literally like a shift. Hey, I have this collection, and I can import it now into VSTS.
Oh, nice.
So, one of the big things that I worked on was around process customization, where if you were in the, you had your agile process and you're adding a bunch of fields and rules and things like that, sometimes that can be challenging when you're on something like 2013 and you have to upgrade up to 18 and some of those things don't exist anymore and you have to upgrade and then you got hundreds of projects. So there's some fun stuff around that process customization space that I bet we kind of helped on and made it better and just documented the heck out of it for people to, get their collection in a good spot so they can get it up to the cloud.
Nice. So for those of our listeners who are sitting there thinking, oh man, I'm stuck on this old TFS version on-prem, it sounds like you have a bunch of new and improved goodies for them to help get them to the cloud.
Yeah. So there's some, it's a process. Depends on how old your TFS instance is, right? So one of the restrictions is, or I guess I wouldn't say restrictions, but one of the requirements is you need to get up to a newer version of VSTS, or I'm sorry, TFS. So you need to be on the current version minus one. So we basically support a six-month window there of the latest. And that's just because, we're making changes in a service every 3 weeks. We can't you know, go back years and years of TFS versions.
It's a lot of combinations.
Yeah. So that's one of them. So we require you to kind of get on the most latest and greatest. And part of that, also, you know, talking about process spaces, you got to get those process updated as well, those process templates and work item types and that kind of thing.
Gotcha. Nice. Well, that sounds, I remember looking at TFS to VSTS migration quite a few years ago now. I guess it was probably 3 years ago. I mean, I don't think it was called VSTS at the time. But anyway, and there were some tools I had to go find, and it wasn't pleasant. It definitely was you're better off to start there, but it was kind of difficult to get there.
Yeah, and now we've made it a lot easier, especially when you're taking your collection and just moving it up to the cloud.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Nice. So, Edward, you're on the source control side of things, I take it. So, you're all Mr. Git, I imagine.
I am, actually. I've been working on Git tools for, many years now.
Gotcha. And you mentioned you came from GitHub at some point?
I actually came into Microsoft through an acquisition. Microsoft bought this little cross-platform enterprise version control company that I worked for called TeamPrize. That became Team Explorer Everywhere. So it's a Microsoft product now. And then after that, my team started looking at Git and distributed version control, and we brought Git into Microsoft's Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services. As you mentioned, it was not called that then.
Yeah.
It had a different name. But then I decided to go over to GitHub for a little while because I've got a lot of interest in open source.
Sure.
And then I came back to Microsoft. That's how I became a PM, actually, was moving back to Microsoft.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. A lot
so,
of fun.
So I guess there's lots of devs who listen to our show that are probably more familiar with Git than they were, I don't know, 2-3 years ago?
Absolutely.
It seems like still a relatively new addition. Not new, I guess. In the grand scheme of things, it's newish. Addition to the Microsoft world and things. So bringing that into VSTS, I imagine, was quite a big deal for them. And being able to use, Git in the cloud with Microsoft tools finally and things.
Yeah.
Integration with Visual Studio and things, obviously a big deal there.
Definitely, yeah. We're seeing a lot of people still moving into Git, but it's hugely popular. I think the last Stack Overflow survey I read said that 90% of professional software developers are using Git in some capacity or another. And it's blows my mind.
Yeah, that is amazing. I guess it's even a few years ago, especially in the Microsoft dev world, you go talk to somebody about, I put that up in GitHub, and they'll be like, I'm not sure how to use that.
Right.
I don't know what to do. What is this pull thing you talk of and all that sort of stuff? Why isn't it all just magically synced? And anyway, they were used to TFS and things like that. So do you have a rough feel for, what's the rough split? Like, are people moving to Git in VSTS, or are they more, TFS type? I'm not sure I'm even using the right acronyms for the types of repos, but
right. Yeah, we call that Team Foundation version control.
Gotcha.
So when we introduced Team Foundation Server, it had a centralized version control system component to it. And that's what we now call Team Foundation version control. At the time, it didn't really have much of a name, at least publicly. We didn't talk about it because there was no other option.
Sure.
It was just the version control in Team Foundation Server.
Yeah, it was just sort of TFS. Yeah.
Right. And so a lot of people talk about using TFS. And so we're trying to really push that disambiguation.
Gotcha.
But I think that most, I'd have to look at the statistics, I don't have them in front of me, most new repos are choosing Git as their first version control system. But Team Foundation version control is still growing. It's not something that we're going to get rid of. It's something that a lot of people use and love. Yeah. It's just got very different usage characteristics.
Interesting.
If you've got a really big repository, up until pretty recently, it was almost impossible to put it in Git.
Right.
And when I say really big, I mean the Windows and the Office sort of sized repositories, multiple gigabytes of source.
Gotcha.
And that was just something that was really poorly suited for Git. It's still, just now being okay with GVFS, which is a tool that we worked on with the Windows team, so to allow Windows to get into Git.
The virtual file system stuff, right?
That's right, yeah. So there's still a ton of people using TFVC, a lot of people who are comfortable with it and don't want to use the new sort of pull request workflows.
Sure.
So I think that's great, but my interest, at least personally, is in Git.
Yeah, gotcha. So what are some of the reasons are there big differences between the two? Like, why would I choose TFS version versus Git? Like, is there some sort of major gotcha that's like, I've got to stay on the TFS source control stuff versus being able to move to Git? Like, is it just a what I'm comfortable with, or are there like technical reasons why I would want to go to one or the other?
At this point, I think it is mostly just what you're comfortable with. Until, you know, maybe the last year or so, I would say that if you had a big repository, you're much better off in Team Foundation version control. There's just no question about it. But as part of, so Dan mentioned earlier, OneES, which is our one engineering system initiative across Microsoft. One Microsoft, we're going to have one common set of tools and common set of workflows, and we're going to do some inner sourcing between the organizations. So I could open a pull request on Windows, which would get rejected immediately because I should not be writing kernel code, I promise you. But the goal of one engineering system was to move everybody into the same tool, and that tool is Git. So we had to, as a company, figure out how to move Windows into Visual Studio Team Services and into Git. So between the two parts of the company, we built this thing called GVFS that, as you mentioned, is the Git virtual file system. And that's what really enables really large repositories to move into Git. Until that time, I would have said that that was the big adoption blocker for many, many large repositories. But now, no, I think it's just workflow. The workflow, if you're comfortable with a TFVC workflow, you don't want to move to pull requests and all that stuff. I don't know why you would want to not, but if you did, then TFVC is best for you. Now it's just a personal preference.
Well, you know, personally, I've never really got over the deprecation of Visual Source Safe.
Sure.
So like for me, you know, this whole new pull request stuff, this is a whole different world.
I hear you. You know, so I
give me a checkout back again. That's what I want.
Actually go back long enough to remember when VS Visual Source Safe was not a punchline, right? When it was a product from OneTree before Microsoft acquired it, it was an incredible tool. It was innovative at the time. It was amazing. But now it's just a punchline.
I'm waiting for the Easter egg where if you put the right key combo in when you start a new project in VSTS, then Visual Source Safe comes up as an option for your repo. I think that you heard it here first, folks. Like, that is the killer feature we should be aiming
for. I'll get right on that.
Nice. Excellent. So you talked a little bit about the One Engineering something, rather. OneES.
One
Engineering System, is that
yes.
right? Yep. We've covered a couple of the announcements or blog posts that we read about this that have come out of Microsoft over the last wee while. And in particular, the virtual file system one seemed like a really big deal to a lot of people. I imagine most people's Git repos are not like Windows or Office. But so what are some of the challenges in dealing with source of that size? Not just the source of that size, but that sheer number of developers, and like what led to building the virtual file system for Git? What does it let people do or that they couldn't have done before, I guess?
Right. Yeah. VSTS and the Windows team have uncovered a number of challenges in working inside something that big. They have the Windows and Devices group is about 22,000 people. So that's bigger than most tech companies. Period. Right.
Yeah.
It's bigger than
yeah.
Salesforce. It's bigger than Twitter. It's multiple Twitters.
Yeah.
So it's been an incredible challenge on every front. But it's, I don't want to say obvious. I don't want to say easy. But you can comprehend how to scale our work item system. You just
put a bigger database in.
That's exactly right. I doubt that's actually true. Dan's looking at me like I'm an idiot. Like I have no idea what I'm talking about.
We'll come to Dan talking about his OneES piece in a sec. I'd love to hear more about that
too. Yeah, I got some fun stuff to talk about Windows and their adoption of the work items. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So the Windows move into VSTS has really stressed every part of the system, from the agile planning tools to source control to the release and sort of end. But the way GVFS works, and that's the source control component explicitly, is that if you look at the 500 gigabytes that is the Windows repository, and I don't mean history, right? This is just 500 gigabytes that you need to ship.
If you just pulled a branch, pulled master or whatever, you'd have 500 gigabytes.
You get 500 gigabytes, right. That,
wow.
that barely fits on an SSD, right?
Yeah.
And so the way GVFS works is it's this really clever file system component that the Windows team built that basically doesn't need you to have all the files in that repository, but it looks like they're there.
So
if you run dir, you see them, right?
Gotcha.
This is completely transparent. What happens is when you go open one of those files that don't exist on disk, so when you run git clone, you don't get the files. You just get the structure so you can lay it out. It looks like you've got it. So when you actually open one of those files, it's totally transparent. You know, you don't need a GVFS-aware build tool or a GVFS-aware editor. It'll download the file from Visual Studio Team Services and put it on disk. And the reason this works is because if you're developing Notepad or something,
mm-hmm.
then you don't need a SCSI driver for the Windows Server team. You don't need any of Xbox. It shaves that down to a much more manageable size on disk, and there's a bunch of Git changes to allow it to only look at the files that you have locally. So Git suddenly, you know, it used to be that if you got the Windows tree and you ran Git status, it would take 8 minutes for it to tell you that nothing had changed.
Gotcha.
We've shaved that down to 8 seconds, and we're still trying to chip away at that.
Gotcha, I see. So have there been a few moments where you've gone and found Linus and throttled him for what happened in Git originally and gone, dude, what were you thinking?
No, absolutely not. Actually, I think that we've got a really great relationship with the overall Git community, and that took a while, right? We started working on a project called libgit2, which is another implementation of Git. That's what GitHub uses on their server. We use it in Visual Studio Team Services,
right?
Because it's a nice little linkable library. And we didn't at first have a lot of people working on Git, but over time we've hired some of the developers who work on Git, and you know, it was in their spare time. Now we've made it their full-time job.
Gotcha.
And so I think we've got a great relationship there, to tell you the truth. Although Linus actually spends most of his time on the kernel these days.
Yeah, no, I imagine. And I don't know, I just like to, you know, poke fun at Linus wherever possible. I guess he's never had to deal with more developers than like 15 kernel contributors, right? So dealing with 22,000 devs is a totally different kettle of fish.
It is, it totally is. And he built a tool, you know, I don't think he expected this level of popularity. He built a tool for himself and for the kernel developers, so it totally makes sense.
I'm kind of surprised, it is, it's a big deal. I mean, it's a monumental effort that it's survived this well. I mean, it goes to show it's a pretty good, pretty decent system to begin with.
It is.
Nice. So how about on the sort of item tracking side? We talked a little bit about some of the source control and challenges of dealing with 22,000 developers. What about getting those folks across from, what was the product called?
Product Studio.
Product Studio, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you, same thing like Ed was talking about, you have all these different groups inside of Windows. And you think about it from the workout and tracking perspective is each team has a certain number of fields that they need to track. And so as you start compiling all these different groups inside of the Windows team overall, and you're starting to be the same taxonomy and under the same basically project, we were running into like a bug work item that had 250 plus fields on it, right? Which is just crazy. Like you can't use, it's almost unusable.
That's a form I want to fill out.
Yeah, exactly. And so we were finding out that, you know, and then, you know, as we brought people in, we're realizing that some of these fields that nobody even knows what they are.
Right.
Like they're there, and one person says they're super important to us, and they realize they're not important.
They're driving some really obscure part of the build pipe, no doubt.
And it's just, but it's really just specific for them, and we just realize, you know, they just have to simplify this stuff. So they've been kind of going through this journey of trying to figure out like what fields can we just get rid of, and they go through the process of kind of deprecating those fields, and so they're continuously cleaning that up over a period of time. And so that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we had inside of, from a workout and tracking perspective. And then we also had some problems in there where, you know, some of the usability versus their workflows are difficult. Like they do a lot of linking of different work items all across, and some of our linking is just not doing the way they need it to be. So we have to make some improvements there. The other thing is performance. Like we never were been on that big of a project where it's 20,000 people using it and it's millions of work items. So we've made a lot of performance improvements over the last couple of years to really make it pop compared to what it used to.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that if Office and Windows can do it, almost any software project can do it. Yeah,
and that's, you know, that's part of the selling point now of VSTS, is where we can go to an enterprise and like, if Windows can put their source control in the cloud and it can have all their work items in the cloud, why can't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the tools that those folks use, you know, I worked at Microsoft a number of years ago, and back then when I was in the engineering team in Office working on SharePoint stuff, it was Source Depot, I believe, at the time, I think, and Product Studio for the most part. And we'd send around these, I think they call them DPKs or something, like these little patch, you know, they're kind of like little commit patches or something along those lines. And so I think things have come a significant way since then. So what about the tooling changes? So if I was sitting at a desk today as a dev working on, I don't know, Word or Excel or SharePoint or something, Office 365, some part of it, Exchange, for example, things like that. Am I using like the VSTS web UI, or are you guys built like a Microsoft front end for this stuff? Or is it the same thing that customers are using?
It's the same thing. is the same thing. Now, 1ES, because they're their own animal, they've built like their own third-party tools, if that makes sense. So we have this tool called Bugger that basically just kind of keeps track of the bugs that pop
Bugger.
Up.
Yep. Yeah.
And kind of notifies you when bugs are in there. And so right now that's like using our old kind of API system where we're trying to get those all moved over to the REST APIs. So one of the big challenges we had in the 1ES perspective is, we have all these people using these different tools, but it's bringing the service down to its knees because they're doing a bunch of old school stuff.
Yeah,
and at the scale, then it even makes it even worse. So we've been working with all these different tool teams, and they literally come out of the woodwork. Like, we have no idea how many are out there that exist at the beginning, and now we're finally figuring out, like, where are they all, what are they trying to do, and then trying to close it down. So they're reducing a lot of their tooling and dependency on third-party tooling, and a lot of that stuff is inside the tool itself. And then one thing to add, too, is, like, you know, we talk about when I'm in writing code inside of Visual Studio versus what's on the web, we've actually are doing less investment inside of Visual Studio itself and making the primary experience in the web, just because the cost to maintain two different experiences over a period of time and all those features gets
faster
very expensive.
Iterate the web stuff as well. You can put new features out more frequently.
Yeah, and again, like, we're delivering every 3 weeks. It's a lot easier than trying to deliver how many often we do with the IDE and that kind of thing. And then even also just like the release train that the IDE has versus what our release train is and kind of keeping all up to date with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, excellent.
So, I think it's really the same tool. It doesn't matter whether you're in Windows or Office and that kind of thing. The web client is the one that, you know, most people are using. And of course, there's still obviously that integration that we have in the IDE, but it becomes less and less prevalent than in the web.
Gotcha. Oh, that's nice. Now, I sort of wondered, I read the articles about, you know, Office and Windows moving to these tools and thought, you know, from my days in those engineering teams where that's got to be complicated. And just even thinking about how Office or Windows gets built and how much that had to do with source integration and you know, what's gone into a particular build and all the items that have gone into it and things. Must have been a significant amount of engineering work to get all that shifted over.
And one thing I'd add too is we have a really good extension system inside of VSTS, so you can extend the product with different hubs and different places where you want to put menus and that kind of thing. So we've had a lot of our internal teams, because of the way their processes are and they don't want to necessarily do everything the way we tell them to do, so to speak, they basically created their own tooling inside of VSTS. So they created their own extensions to do their own kind of follow their own workflows. Windows is a great example. They've contributed to several extensions of ours. And then we're now proposing with them is, instead of making it a private extension, let's make it generic enough so we can go ahead and publish that out into GitHub and publish it on our marketplace so anybody
else
can use
take
it.
Advantage of
and
it.
So
gotcha.
I've been working like with a couple of the Windows teams, like, look, this is way too Windows specific. Let's get this thing more generic, and that way everybody can use it. And so we're kind of doing that in mind for all the new things that we do for extensions with all our 1ES teams.
Yeah, gotcha. Now, I can imagine there's a bunch of lessons learned and best practices that have come out of, you know, large software projects like that are applicable to others. And it's nice to see kind of Microsoft opening up about that and telling people about how they build Office and Windows and how it all hangs together and that you're using the same tools.
And it makes our product so much better because now we have really big teams using our stuff. We figure out where those pain points are and what we need to improve, and it just makes the product better. For other teams, you know, we kind of dog-fooded ourselves and realized where our pain points are and we fix them.
So speaking of data import, I'm a Jira person. Do you have like a little magical suck everything out of Jira and stuff it into VSTS that you're secretly working on?
No. I don't know. Unfortunately, no. So we've had that request several times. We kind of, the ALM Ranger team's done a little bit like investigation and put a nice blog post together. Like, here's, if you want to do it, you can do it this way. There's a couple open source stuff out there on GitHub that people have done it before. There's another tool called TFS for Jira, created by Spartan Group, and that'll basically suck things in and sync, which we don't recommend syncing. If you're going to do one or the other, just do it and migrate it over. So there's some tools out there. There's other third parties like TaskTop who have tools out there, but we don't have anything internally that we've built, and we don't have any plans to do it anytime soon.
Gotcha. No, fair enough.
But the reality is, you know, we want to get people over from Jira over to VSTS, and you know, maybe eventually we'll have to bite the bullet and do something.
Nice.
CJ's Hyperfish automates the collection of user profile information from users in organizational directories such as Office 365, SharePoint, Active Directory, and HR systems. The secure service supports on-premises, hybrid, and online environments. Bring your directory to life at hyperfish.com.
AC's Voitanos delivers on-demand video-based training for developers on the latest SharePoint extensibility model from Microsoft in his course, Mastering the SharePoint Framework.
So I guess I work in a small ISV. We build software that a cloud service that we deploy, and we also build some Windows components that go get deployed on customers' premises, I should say. And we use a mix. We use Jira for item tracking and all that, hence my question about can we pull it all over to VSTS. When we started it, it wasn't so much of an option for us, but now it's certainly come a long way and it's looking more and more attractive to us, so we're definitely keen on doing that. On the build side of things, we use GitHub for all our source, and we trigger builds in a couple of different places. We use Travis for building some components, and we're very much looking at flipping those over to VSTS for our builds. We also use VSTS already for our builds, but mostly just for the Windows side of things, for our the components that we deploy on-premises and things like that. So I guess with Microsoft's move over the last few years now, I suppose, it's not all that new, and embracing kind of the open source world, like, how has that felt from working in a business that's gone from everything is proprietary to sort of open source first, I guess? And there's probably not a lot of open source developers who go, I know, I'm going to use VSTS to go and build my stuff. But anybody that uses Travis today, I could categorically state, chances are you're going to be able to build your stuff on VSTS and trigger builds and get all that stuff done. So how has that sort of felt, I guess? Edward, you've come from more of the open source world, I guess, than I have. And so how's that felt over the last few years?
That's amazing. It's just amazing. So yeah, I joined Microsoft about 10 years ago. I came in from a little startup, and when Microsoft acquired our company, we had to do all this legal due diligence, right? You know, the accountants come in, they look at your books, and they're like, hey, this looks good. And then the developers come in, and they're like going through your code, and then the lawyers come in, and they're looking at the licenses, and all of a sudden they're like, wait, what's all this open source stuff you guys are using?
Yeah.
And we were a little, you know, we had 5 engineers working on this product. Of course we used open source, right? We just pulled as much open source as we could, because that's how we got to market quickly.
Software. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we came into Microsoft, and they just lost their minds about all the open source that we had used. And that was a real harsh lesson for me. And I thought I wasn't going to stick around Microsoft very long. But it turns out that a lot of people within Microsoft were excited about open source and building open source and consuming open source. And we figured out how to do that. And so it was an incredible shift. You know, being a part of the company, you know, I can point to specific people. Some of them are here at Build, you know, that you've got the Scott Hanselman. He's been pushing on open source for a long time. But then there are a lot of people behind the scenes, like our lawyers.
Right.
Who I never thought I would say this, but, you know, our lawyers are amazing.
that is quite a statement.
I know. So it's been really inspirational, and I'm really happy to see the shifts that Microsoft has made. And I think that you're right. I think that VSTS can really enable a lot of places like Builds that you might not have expected a couple of years ago. And I manage an open source project. I, in fact, manage too many. But so right now we use a mix of Travis and AppBear for our builds, and it's a mess.
You got to get that stuff over to VSTS.
Yeah, I know. I'm working on that.
Yeah, I vividly remember meetings with lawyers where they'd sort of talk to everybody about, do not even look at an open source piece of software.
Right.
Don't even open it. Don't look at a web page with it on, because we don't want to taint your vision and your memory with having seen a piece of open source software and then have either that idea or that snippet of code or whatever it happens to be end up in one of Microsoft products.
And that was the word they used, taint. You were tainted.
Yes. You were no longer pure and you were tainted with that tarnished with that brush, I suppose.
Right.
And things have certainly come a long way when you've got Microsoft engineers working in open source projects, like in the Docker projects and Kubernetes projects and things, really all across the board, and also starting open source projects and contributing to others. that says a lot about the change within the company.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I would add, too, like one of the things that we're starting to do more and more of is the things that we build in VSTS is also open source, right? So a lot of the build stuff is already in VSTS, right. Or is in open source out on GitHub. A lot of our extensions are already out there on GitHub. I work on a couple projects that are
a ton of docs.
All our docs on GitHub. We're doing a lot of like sample code and extensions and that kind of stuff out on GitHub so people can learn and understand and ask questions and that kind of stuff. So to me, it's super encouraging that it's not so locked down and we lead by example, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nice. So for folks that didn't make it to build, what are some exciting things they should go check out to get started with the things you guys work on, I guess? What should they go do, I guess?
Oh, well, I mean, if you don't have a Visual Studio Team Services account yet, you got to go create one because it's super easy. It's free for your first 5 users.
Yeah, that's so really nice.
Yeah.
Great for little teams.
Yeah, it's a total no-brainer, right? I think. I'm obviously a little biased, but I think that's a no-brainer. So, yeah, you got to get started with a VSTS account.
And so they can go host their code in VSTS, or they can go point at GitHub repos and all these other places. So if your source doesn't necessarily have to move either, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. So a lot of people look at Visual Studio Team Services, and we've got agile planning tools, we've got source control, we've got build, we've got release, we've got all these things. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you don't have to just move everything all at once. You know, if you're happy on GitHub, stay on GitHub. That's cool. Nice. We'll happily build your code in GitHub, right? And so if you're, like I said, I have some cross-platform kind of stuff. You know, I'm using Travis and AppBear. I don't want two. I just want one. You know, they're both good programs, but it's such a mess to have two.
Yeah.
So you could standardize on VSTS for your builds because we've got hosted Linux, Mac, and Windows build agents in the cloud. We're the only people that can offer all three.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it is.
We have, just out of from personal experience, we use, like I said, we use Travis for quite a lot of stuff. We use VSTS for some Windows stuff right now, and we're thinking of merging those two, obviously. And then we use Docker Cloud for some stuff as well. And so, sometimes I look at a particular piece of our service or our software and think, where are we building that? Like, I can't remember which one of those three, and I got to go check different places to go see. So
that's right.
Nice. All right. So bottom line is go get started with a five user account for free, in VSTS, and you can either use it for source control or not, and use it for builds or releases or item tracking and project management stuff as well.
There's another really good resource that we redid in the last 2 weeks is visualstudio.com/devops. And that has all kinds of new, like, if you're new to DevOps and understanding what DevOps is, what are continuous integration, what are builds, what's Agile, what's Scrum, what's Kanban stuff. So if you're, like, new to the space in general, right, it gives people, here's what you need to kind of do to get started, here's the concept, here's where you go to, like, learn more, that kind of thing. So that's a really nice resource that we've just kind of, and it also talks about our stories about, here's what Microsoft did to get from where they were, you know, 10 years ago to where we are today, right?
Right.
And kind of gives people a frame of reference, like where we were and where we've been and to where we are now.
Excellent. Yeah, we've had Donovan Brown on the show in the past, probably, if not last build, perhaps Ignite last year, I think it was. So it's always nice to catch up on the DevOps side and see, you know, what's going on with the tools and what's new and improved in the space. And we really appreciate you guys coming on the show and talking to our listeners about everything going on in the VSTS world. And also really interesting stuff around what Microsoft is doing internally. I think that really paints a really valid picture for companies to look at and go, well, they're eating their own dog food, they're suffering if they've got problems, they're using their own services, so if Windows has to stop development for whatever reason, that's a pretty big deal, so that we could probably go trust that.
Yeah, it's a pretty compelling story, I think. It talks about, you know, all the pain that we went through, and we're not perfect by any means, but it's a nice story to figure out, like, hey, here's where we started, here's where we are, here's all the stuff that we fixed to get to where we're at today, yeah.
Well, again, thanks very much for coming on the show, Edward and Dan. Much appreciated, and enjoy the rest of Build.
Chris.
Cheers. Thanks, Chris.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as an MP3 or WAV file and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.